Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
With some real news around the sports world, which we'll get into in just a couple of moments. And, of course, we're a little more than 2 weeks from the NFL draft, which is going to be on Thursday starting April 23rd. And there's some news about that and MLB and all those things. We'll get into everything. The phone lines, of course, are wide open at 800-919-3776. And Rick, we start with you. How are you holding up? How are you doing on this Tuesday morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. I had a nice day yesterday, little outdoor time with the kids, little watercolor, riding the bikes and everything else. So I'm all geared up. I'm ready to rock and roll for this, what hopefully is another nice Tuesday.
Okay. Lovely. And Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Dave. When I went home after the show, I just went in my backyard and practiced some golf chips. So really it's the same day, just repeating over and over and over and over again. Now I'm getting to the point where I'm over it.
Yeah, we are all Bill Murray right now in Groundhog Day because it's the same day over and over and over. We'll get into it a little bit later. I finished up Tiger King. These people are unbelievable. I can't believe I walked the same earth as some of these people. It's remarkable. We'll get into that as the day moves forward. Obviously,
hey,
a lot going on. Yeah,
time out quick. Here's a Tiger King related story. So I come downstairs after the show yesterday. And I was just asking Milo how school went. And he said, it went all right. And I said to my wife, is he telling the truth? How did school go? She said, well, he got off to an early meltdown, but he picked up the pieces and he finished strong. I said, well, what did they do? He said, we're going to have to go outside, do watercolors. There's a famous artist that they have to do a painting like, with the watercolors. And then I said, well, what else did they do? She said, well, they had to draw another picture and tell a story, and it was all related to what their favorite animal was. So I said, well, what did he pick? What was his favorite animal? And she said, his favorite animal was a tiger. I said, well, a tiger? I mean, that seems a little odd, no? She's like, yeah, I was surprised too. I said, well, what was the reasoning? What was the story he told? So he has to draw the picture. She takes a picture of what he drew, sends it to the teacher, and then he's going to have a voice note attached to it. So, and I'm not even joking. This is 100% what he says. He says, the reason why he chose the tiger is because it's a beautiful animal, and I hear my parents talking about the Tiger King all the time.
That's funny.
It's made it through to the next generation.
We don't want to pass it down to the next generation, Dave.
He can't watch that for years.
Yeah.
I mean, for
never.
For
no, no. Never.
I mean, those are crazy people.
No, he's not equipped.
Yeah. No. Not,
he doesn't need to see that.
I mean, the guy's like, and then he just started to play with the gun. I'm like, oh no. I mean, really?
Yeah, he knew where that was headed. Yeah.
I'm like, oh no. And then the campaign manager is watching it thinking it's a joke. I mean, come on. The guy's running for president. He's running for governor. He was third, Dave, in the governor's race.
Dave, how about the ceremony for the second husband? And he starts going, the stories he's telling with the husband's mom in the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. About the genitalia.
Yes.
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 I was like, you can't say that, can you?
No, that guy is. And then every time you think you've met someone who is just so out of left field, you'll never see anyone else like that. 5 minutes later, you meet someone crazier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just keeps getting... I mean, it keeps doubling down on crazy.
It is unbelievable. We'll get into the Tiger King a little bit later. 800-919-3776. Now, there are, of course, everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. I kind of feel like we're cutting edge with the ideas that we have on the show, because it was a couple weeks ago we had seemingly, Rick, the same idea that Major League Baseball is coming out with now that you heard from Jeff Passan a little bit earlier this morning.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, it seems any of these sports leagues, the NHL, and it's going to come down to, you know, what we said over the last couple of weeks was, you know, the immediacy of the tests. And I think the willingness of the players, the athletes, to be willing to be away from their families, to be willing to, you know, be in one general, you know, city or hotel, whatever it is, and try to find a way to get these games going. Because, I mean, I got to be honest, Dave. I mean, I know you feel the same. I need it. I think we all need it. We need something to watch.
Yeah. Chris, we need it terribly, right? Terribly.
No, we got to have some live sports, Dave. I'm just waiting for one of these sports leagues to get started again. Obviously, safety has to be the priority. But, I mean, as far as entertainment goes, a lot of people look at sports as their break from the reality that they're dealing with from day to day. And based on what we've been going through the last month or so, I mean, I think that that's something that would be welcomed pretty much by everybody in our country. So I'm hoping that baseball has a way to get this done. They've worked out all of the logistics, all of the different things that they would have to have in place to protect the players and to protect all the people that are associated with supporting the players. But I mean, if they find a way to be able to pull this off out in Arizona in early May, I think everybody would be ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. So we'd have a couple of weeks of a spring training, I guess, if that, and then they would get right to the games where they'd almost lock off this area of Arizona solely for baseball, and you would just have game. It would really be unbelievable, completely unprecedented. And I'm optimistic about it. It sounds like the commissioner would like this to be the case. I just worry, Rick, I just worry that if you have one hiccup, if one guy gets tested positive, all of a sudden, all of Major League Baseball would have to cease to exist, I would imagine.
No, see, that for me is going to be one of the sticking points. They're not going to get this thing, they're not going to restart this thing if that's going to be the case. They'll have, you know, the testing in place and the treatments in place where if someone does test positive, then they can quarantine that player and they can continue to test the rest of the players. And if that means, you know, having expanded rosters or whatever it is. But no, they can't. And it may be in June. I mean, maybe June, maybe it's not May. But they can't have this thing restart where teams are going to have to be quarantined if one guy tests positive.
Well, I think
there's
a lot of people are holding
testing positive.
I think a lot of people are holding out hope that as the weather continues to warm up, that the virus becomes less and less of an issue. Because based on what I'm hearing from public health officials, as it gets warmer, the virus struggles to be able to survive. So I just hope that that is the case and that we start to get on the other side of this thing in terms of being able to reach the apex of it and then, you know, not overwhelm the medical people, the healthcare professionals. I think that's the most important thing when we start talking about starting up these sports leagues, because it's inevitable that these athletes in competition, somebody is going to test positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, we've seen that already, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to happen. So it's just a matter of how do you manage that situation and continue forward with sport without jeopardizing the other athletes in competition.
Now, I guess there's a real chance that you go to Arizona, let's say, for argument's sake, and you don't leave Arizona for months. I mean, for an extended period of time. Like, you could go there in May or early June and not get out of there until September, October. My question to you, Rick, is, I mean, you're the perfect person because let's just say you are a Major League Baseball player, which is what you'd like to be anyhow, right?
Major League Baseball. I mean, you consider the green light. What I do now is Major League Baseball adjacent, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Jays. Right. I think most people look at that like Mike Trout follows very closely.
What do you mean? We use wooden bats.
No,
it's similar.
I'm being sincere. So... You have two young kids, right? You
yes.
have a 5-year-old and a three. Is she three?
She's three, yeah.
Okay, and a 3-year-old, and a lovely wife. How would you feel about? All right, Rick, May 17th, up and leaving your family, and there's a good chance you don't see them again till October 7th.
It would be a conversation I would have with my wife, and it would be a conversation that would end with my wife and kids staying here and, you know, probably end up having my mother-in-law up to help with the kids and in the everyday stuff. And I would be on my way to Arizona to play and make money.
So you would definitely do it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, did you hear what Jeff Passan said today? The phone call he got initially from the player when he asked the player the question, he went back and forth and he said, no, there's no way. I have young kids and mm-hmm. I'm not leaving my wife and kids. And then he got a phone call, I think it was last night or today, where same player said, well, I had the conversation with my wife. And if we don't have games, I don't get paid. So they're willing to make it work over the next couple months as long as he can go play and make money. I think a lot of people would have that conversation. There are some guys that, I mean, maybe decide they don't want to do it because they have enough money. And then there's some guys that, that need the money. They need the paychecks.
Well, I can't speak for baseball players, but I know guys in the National Football League, the majority of the players live in a different city than where they play. So most of those guys don't bring their wives and their families where they go play. They live in an apartment during the season, and then in the offseason they go back home. So, I mean, maybe this is something that would be new for guys in baseball, but it's not something that we haven't seen across other sports where guys have to miss extended periods of time away from their family in order to play.
And, Chris, too, I mean, early on, I mean, training camp, you're gone for a month at least away from your family.
Yeah. Yeah, at a minimum.
I mean, listen, Dave, here's a situation where, not only do the players need to get paid, your sport needs it. Like, the country needs you
to find a way. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I'm just looking, as a husband and a father, I'm thinking about me personally and leaving my family for 4 or 5 months and how devastating that would be to me.
It would be devastating and it would be tough. And I mean, we're in a time now where you can still FaceTime and everything else, but it would also be devastating if you had no season and you made no money.
You're right.
I mean, I told you yesterday, Justin Verlander's fine. He's making $33 million. Like, he's made enough money. But, I mean, if this was a year where finally he got the big contract and he's losing $177,000 a day because there's no baseball, I mean, I'm sure they would find a way. It would suck. I mean, it sucks, period, now. And yeah. it would be tough to be away from your family for a couple months, 3, 4 months, whatever it is. But, I mean, it's a conversation you have, and ultimately it would be a sacrifice you'd have to make to try to get back to work.
But Rico, here's the other thing. I don't want to just reduce this down to a matter of money for professional athletes. The reality is you only have a short period of time to be able to play a sport relative to your entire life. So you don't want to give up an opportunity that you would have because of what's going on. So if you have a chance to get back to playing the game that you love, whether it's baseball, basketball, or hockey, I mean, guys are going to push for that just because you recognize your career mortality. It is only so long that you're going to have the opportunity to do this, and you don't want to give up any chances that you have. So from that perspective, I could see why players would want to push to have the season.
Yeah, and you said something which is dead on, Rick, and that is this just sucks, right? It sucks for me. It sucks for you guys. It sucks for everybody at our station. This sucks. So you're going to, and everyone out there is going to have to do things that they're not comfortable with, right? Doctors are doing it. Nurses are doing it. Athletes are going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it. You guys are going to, like, everyone is going to do things that they don't like, that they're not comfortable with, that are outside of the norm to be able to go ahead and live their lives. And I guess this is just another one of these things that baseball is going to have to endure.
Yeah, baseball will have to endure it. I think at a certain point, hopefully the NHL has to get back and their players will endure it, the NBA. But I mean, it's not like, let's not sit here and pretend like the accommodations for the athletes too are going to be these, they're going to be in the best of the best. Like, this is going to be all taken care of. I mean, you're going to put you in a situation where you'll be in a beautiful hotel. You'll have the medical, the doctors and trainers that you need. Like, everything is going to be there for you. And, it's making a sacrifice for the greater good is what it is. And it's, you're still playing a game. You're making a ton of money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to be willing to, it's going to be, you sacrificing. There's going to be some things that are going to look different. Whatever it ends up taking to get these things back to where, we can watch live sports, I think it's good for everybody. And you're going to sacrifice a little bit because right now everyone's sacrificing a little bit.
Yeah, everybody's got to sacrifice. I think what's interesting is that baseball is talking about getting started in early May, and Adam Silver said that he's not going to make a determination about what's going to happen to the NBA season until at least early May. So I guess the difference in the respective sports is what's allowing baseball to get started ahead of basketball because there's less contact between the athletes. Is that it?
I think there's probably more willingness too from I think sport to sport, there may be more willingness from the players in Major League Baseball, and I think probably the NHL, than there is maybe the NBA, because the money disparity is so much different. And like where the season's at in the NBA, and the fact that the NBA could probably, if they wanted to, move the start of next season to Christmas. So I don't think there's as much urgency.
Gotcha. Okay. But it doesn't sound like we're going to see the NBA anytime soon.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. I mean, the commissioner spoke last night. He did had a conversation with Ernie Johnson, and he just said, that any idea he's listening to, and they're not even going to consider what the next step is probably for 3 to 4 weeks from right now. So Yes, of all the sports, it sounds clearly like baseball is the one that's closest to having a potential return.
Yeah, I mean, but beyond that, Dave, I mean, when you start talking about basketball and hockey, I mean, the question is whether or not we're going to see them continue this current season at all. I think it's on the table that they would just forego the rest of the season and the postseason and think about starting up the next season, and when exactly would that be, and when it would be safest for players to get back to doing sport-related activities in team facilities. I think that's a part of the equation. I think that's something that's absolutely on the table.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Yeah. I don't disagree with what Chris just said. I think at a certain point, though, if it's Major League Baseball and it sounds like they're closest to returning, I mean, the reality for all the athletes involved is that, you know, you may, what you're signing up for is that at some point you may actually get COVID and you may have to, you know, get treated for it and try to, you know, make your way through it. Cause I mean, there's so many people involved. I mean, when you start talking about the logistics of Major League Baseball with the size of the rosters, you know, medical staff, trainers, umpires, TV crew. I mean, there's a lot of people involved with trying to put this thing on.
Tons. You're going to have to put on a TV broadcast, which is God knows how many people. You got to have the full rosters. Guys will get hurt. We know that. So what happens when guys get hurt and you have to bring someone in from the outside? Or are your top 20 prospects, or, you know, like guys that would replace them, already inside of this bubble so that if someone gets hurt, they just, you know, they don't have to travel in from Scranton. They're just ready to go. There's a million pieces of logistical things that have to be done between now and the start of any professional sport.
Yeah, but I think the reality has to be, I mean, this has to be, I mean, for all these leagues, this is freshman year of college. Like nothing can be off the table. This is the time to experiment. If it's going to be, you know, automated strike zones, if it's going to be, you know, Major League Baseball players mic'd up, whatever it ends up being, like, you have to be willing to try almost anything with the circumstances. And as far as like, well, you know, to have a, you know, a representative champion without an asterisk, come on, stop with that. I mean, we're in a situation where, I mean, we've never seen anything like this before. So, I mean, if it's 80 games, if whatever it ends up being, and you get through the playoffs and you have a champion, it's still the champion.
Everyone's still playing.
I hate that idea, like, oh, there's an asterisk. No, guess what? You know what? Certain situations call for certain things. If it's going to be 80 games, whatever it ends up being,
yep,
you play the 80 games, and then whoever comes out of this as the best team is the champion.
Yep, drastic times call for drastic measures. All right, let's take a listen. Here is Jeff Passan. He was on SportsCenter earlier this morning detailing the exact plan of Major League Baseball.
Let's just lay out the plan first, right? Major League Baseball would be isolating in Arizona. They would be playing games every day at spring training facilities at Chase Field. You might have two or three games a day there. All of the logistics of creating this biodome have to happen in order for it to happen. So there are so many hurdles that they have to leap through, whether it is ensuring the safety and health of the players, ensuring the viability of this dome so that they don't go outside of it and potentially infect other people, playing the games, getting ready for the games. Do you keep the bus drivers at the hotels? You know, all these questions that need to be answered. But what they've got, Scott, is the backing of federal health officials. Major League Baseball and now the Major League Baseball Players Association have been in touch with officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institute of Health. And what they have come to terms with is that the likeliest way that baseball is going to be back in 2020 is if they follow this plan. Now, it's a difficult plan to follow, but I think it's one that as time goes on, they've come to terms with the idea that they are going to have to.
All right, guys. So it sounds like if we are going to see baseball at all this season, this is going to be the way that you're going to see it. You're not going to have 48,000 lunatics at Yankee Stadium. You're not going to have us having the trips to Citi Field and the tailgates. You're not going to have Philly or any of that. It sounds like if and when it happens in Major League Baseball, this is the way it's going to be, where it's locked away some corner of the world. Everybody plays there, and it's almost like a big bubble with baseball.
Well, Dave, I think people would be okay with that as long as we get to see the sport. I mean, it doesn't matter that you don't have fans, that you don't have spectators at the actual venues. As long as the guys are out there, the names that you know playing, I think that's what everybody wants to see. I mean, it's a welcome distraction, you know, based on what we're dealing with right now. So I think that if baseball, if Rob Manfred and all of these clubs, all of these owners can pull this off, that would be a huge win, not only for the sport, but a huge win for the country as well. And who knows, Dave? I'm not going to sit here and try to say that baseball wants to be an opportunist, but what it could actually do for the sport of baseball in terms of creating new fans because you have a live sporting event, I think that that's something that baseball has to be talking about. That's something that they have to be considering because you're going to have some more eyeballs on your sport than you otherwise would.
Yeah, I think too for me, I mean, and Dave, you mentioned this earlier on in the show. I mean, with, you know, we're doing the shows from home because what we do isn't necessarily essential. You know, and we got, you know, Santi in the studio taking care of us because without him, we can't get the show on the air. I mean, I could make the argument, and this is going to seem crazy to even say this, but just I think where we're at as a country, just, I mean, being isolated the way that we're isolated, and I'll keep saying this, the mental health of the country, I mean, maybe you get to a point where it's, you got men and women on the front lines, nurses, ICU. I was watching, you know, Kelly Ripa's show this morning, and they had an ICU nurse from Long Island just talking about, you know, what she was dealing with. Her husband's a cop. So, I mean, these two, this family's on the front line doing it, you know, risking being infected. I mean, at a certain point, and I would imagine this is probably part of the conference call with the president. I mean, does it become essential that we do get some sports?
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, it's the outlet that everyone has. I mean, think of how you have real world stuff going on, or your kids aren't doing well in school, or your mother-in-law is not well, and you come home and you're like, all right, let me just put my feet up and watch the Knicks or the Mets or the Yankee. Yeah, it's important. I mean, sports is, and you take it for granted. And I think we've seen that you just, it's always there until now. And you miss it. And yeah, I think it is. I mean, do we move on if we don't have it? Of course. But I think and mental health, we've talked about this the last couple of days, how important it is to keep your sanity and your mental health at a high level. Yeah, I think having sports, anything, is very important for us.
No, it is, Dave. I mean, there's only so much series that you can watch on television and all of that stuff, and there's only so much that you can lock in on news and updates on the coronavirus. You need something else to take up your time, and if you don't have the opportunity to go out and be in parks and playgrounds, then you're going to have something constructive to focus your attention on, and it just seems like sports could fill that vacuum for the country. And that's why I'm encouraged by the news that we got from Jeff Passan about what Major League Baseball is planning to do. I just hope that it's a success, and I hope that they limit the amount of guys that are exposed and infected with COVID-19, because I think that's going to open the door for other sports to come back in this country.
But do I think it's a necessity? Do I think it's important to answer your question, Rick? Yeah. Don't you? I think it's very important that you have some level of sanity, and sports takes you away from the normal, you know, craziness that life presents every day. I can't watch the news anymore. Like, I watch 5 minutes and then it's so depressing. It's so debilitating. So yeah, I think sports now is more important, or as important as it's ever been.
Well, I think one of the biggest things you heard from Jeff Passan, and I think one of the reasons why you can be a little bit optimistic, is that you do have, I mean, Major League Baseball, with the plan that they laid out, I mean, does have the backing of the federal government. I mean, the they're getting, like, they must, for the federal health officials to be on board with this, they must feel that it's something that would be good for the country. Otherwise, why would they? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If they didn't think this was a big deal, then they would just say, no. I mean, what you just laid out is ridiculous. Like, the chances of you know, achieving this goal are ridiculous. But, I mean, they're behind it. They're backing it. I mean, they want to see, I think everyone wants to see this thing work.
To support your point, Rick, I mean, the president of the United States, in the middle of a global pandemic, took time out of his schedule over the weekend to have a conference call with the commissioners of every major sports league, Dana White, and trying to come to some idea as to how we can get sports back underway. I think they recognize how important it is in terms of the mental health and the overall welfare of our country, you know, in being able to watch sports and let that be, you know, something that can serve as a distraction away from everything else that we're dealing with.
And I also think it gives you the confidence. That we're going to get through this. You know what I mean? Like, I just go back to, and I watched this a couple different times. Yeah, I mean, you go back to, you know, that Mike Piazza home run, you know what I'm saying? Like, and what that did for not just New York, but I mean, just for the rest of the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, sports is something that brings you together as a nation. And I think it would give you, it would kind of give you that, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel, that optimism that, you know, we will get through this and we will find a way. Cause we do. I mean, we're a resilient country. We'll find a way. But just right now, I mean, sitting in your house and, you know, seeing some of the numbers, watch the news, you're like, well, you can't even say it, but when are we going to get through this?
Yeah, it's depressing.
It doesn't feel like anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, this many people infected in the charts, and this is when, you know, it's going to keep getting worse, and we're 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks out from it getting worse, and now this school is canceled, and California's not going to have school for the rest of the year. Yeah, it is. It's depressing, and I understand why people are beside themselves and depressed and upset and angry and fearful and all those things. And I think sports is important. So, I mean, I could not agree with you more. If there's a way for this to potentially move forward and having these games be played, and think of how, I mean, you anticipated anyway, but every day, I mean, you said it earlier, Chris, this could be a big win for baseball because everyone's locked away in their houses. There's nowhere to go. You can't do anything. How cool would it be if everyone was watching the same games nonstop without a million distractions? I think it could potentially be a good byproduct for the game of baseball.
Could be a good byproduct for the game of baseball, Dave, but you actually mentioned it in passing earlier, just in terms of the connectivity, because we feel all so separated. We're all isolated and self-quarantining in our own homes. Think about us having the opportunity to pick up the phone and talk about the baseball game. Talk about what we saw last night, the unbelievable play, the home run, the great catch. I mean, a guy stealing second base. Like, those are the things, those are the conversations that we would be having instead of the death toll of coronavirus and how bad this week or the next week is going to be for deaths related to COVID-19. Like, we'll have something else that can serve as a distraction away from the grim reality that we now find ourselves in. So to me, I just think it would be in the best interest of everyone if we could somehow, some way safely get these games played. And if you're talking about early May, that would be awesome, Dave.
You know what's interesting too, Chris, what you just said as far as picking up the phone? I think that for me has been one of the toughest things. I mean, even just, you know, not being able to come into the studio and sitting around just chopping it up, talking about whatever is, I mean, by nature, we're so social, and to be cut off from, you know, from everyone around you, just having conversations. I mean, you know, Ray Dinahan, who works in the show, just, you know, texts me about reading a book. Well, that's okay. I can read a book, but who am I going to talk about reading the book with? Like, I'm not going to. I don't have
not
a
me.
Book club.
Maybe one or two other people. That's about it.
Yeah, not me.
You know what I mean? Like, sports ends up being that common thread. We had this conversation about, you know, your relationship with your dad, and you know how, you know, sometimes conversations with your dad are like, "Hey, what's up? Nothing. Okay, talk to you later." But when you have sports to talk about, it kind of brings back that social aspect a little bit, where you can actually pick up the phone, or you can, you know, FaceTime a buddy while you're watching a game, whatever it ends up being. But I think that for me has been part of the struggle is you don't. I mean, outside of my wife and kids, and occasionally FaceTiming with some family and friends, that I mean, the ability to socialize is gone.
It's extinct.
I mean, you're rushing around. Like, I used to love going to the grocery store. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I'm trying to get in and out of there in record time. I mean, you're avoiding people. You're 6 feet, 10 feet away from people. Like, I saw my neighbors yesterday. I'm 20 feet away from their car because, you know, God forbid I got closer. I mean, Cassie would have a nervous breakdown. So, I mean, just, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe it's just how I feel. Maybe I'm the only one that feels this way. I know you guys maybe feel the same way I do. I just, if I was in this similar situation where I was still playing in the NHL, or I was a professional baseball player, or, you know, LeBron James or one of these NBA players, I would take this opportunity and use it as a badge of honor that, you know, with everyone that's had to sacrifice, if it means me being away from home for a couple months or whatever it ends up being, I'm going to be willing to do it, because there's enough people. It's not everybody, but there's enough people that would benefit from us being out there playing.
Yeah, I think that's true. And think about this for a second also, and this is not solely the baseball games going on, but if baseball goes on, and let's make up a day, May 27th, right? Let's say Memorial Day weekend, something around there, and there's no competition, there's no basketball, there's no hockey, there's nothing else going on. I mean, you talk about winning the day. How good would that be for the game of baseball, that people are almost, if you want sports, and we know that everybody does, you're forced into it. You can't leave your house. You have no other options. How good would that be for the game of baseball?
I think it'd be a win for baseball, Dave. And to take your point a step further, if you look at the season being shortened, the intensity and the urgency that these clubs are going to approach every single game, it's going to make it more compelling for the audience at home. So I think that that's a way to put your best foot forward in terms of being able to sell your product to some folks that wouldn't otherwise be watching baseball games in May, June, July. So I just think that, you know, not to take it to the business angle of it, but I mean, in just looking at some of the unintended benefits of what could potentially happen for the sport. I mean, you can't help but think that this could be an opportunity for baseball to appeal to an audience that would otherwise not have the chance to.
Yep. And I said it yesterday, Rick, this rings true even more so today. If there's ever an experiment that they want to have, if they want to do home run derby after 10 innings or California rule where a runner starts at second base or, you know, a doubleheader where it's 7 innings each or an automated umpire, whatever it is that they want to choose to do, this would be the time, because the negative feedback I don't think would be there nearly as much, if at all, as it would be during the course of a normal season.
No, you're not going to get any pushback from the players.
No.
I mean, they'll be willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, I mentioned freshman year of college. For you, Dave, this is lefty, righty, stranger, whatever it is. I mean, you're experimenting. Whatever it takes to get the job done, you're going to be willing to do it. And how about the long-term ramifications in the sport, too? I mean, let's face it. I mean, the NFL is America's pastime now, right? So if all of a sudden now you're in the house with your kids, and for the next 2 months, baseball is the only thing on television?
Yep.
Maybe all of a sudden, maybe that reinvigorates the love of baseball for the younger generation.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of negativity now. I get a tweet. We all get a tweet. I love the Yankees, but there's nothing I want to see less than a Yankee game played in an empty stadium in Arizona being called by Joe Buck. I will gladly wait until next season. Well, I will not.
You'll give be by me, yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be by yourself with that.
Right? Give me Yankees, Blue Jays, empty stadium in Arizona every single day of the week. Do you know what? I mean, my life would be so different if we had baseball right now. Think of how much happier and better things would be. And I'm not saying to do it if there's tremendous risk, but if you can get away and do it without tremendous risk, think of how much that would help this country right now.
Yeah, I can't think of the negative. And that, for me, every time I hear that excuse, playing in front of empty arenas, empty stadiums, it drives me crazy. I mean, how many times, Chris, have you played growing up in front of an empty, in front of just your parents or like a handful of people? I played an Eastern Conference Finals game in the AHL at home, and we had 11 people in the stands for warm-up. 11. Yeah. You could count them. There was 11 people. I mean, stop it. I mean, just don't forget where you came from. Like, the whole empty arena thing, it drives me crazy. Well, it'd be hard. Okay, guess what? I mean, you're saying that's hard. You know what would be hard? Would be in being New York City working in the ICU. That's
yes,
hard right
that's
now.
That's hard. Yeah.
Stop it.
Playing a game people, in an huh? empty venue with millions of people watching back home, it doesn't seem like it's that hard.
Yeah.
Especially
Mic
when you consider what guys are getting paid. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I mean, you could have fan interaction, right? You could have like tweeting during the game. There's so many possible ways. You could have social media. Like, there's so many things baseball could do which could connect them back to the American public. All right. 800-919-3776. Want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Today on ESPN Daily, MLB has a plan to resume in May, with all teams heading to Arizona to play in isolation. Hear more on how it could work, plus lessons from Korea, where strict measures have kept baseball on track. That's ESPN Daily with Mina Kime. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Major League Baseball, Chris, with a statement. Let me read it to you. MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that will allow play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it's safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association. The health and safety of our players, employees, fans, and the public at large are paramount, and we are not ready at this time to endorse any particular format for staging games in light of the rapidly changing public health situation caused by coronavirus. So as excited as we are, Chris, it doesn't sound like we're all that close to the start of this happening with Major League Baseball.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Dave. I think what baseball is doing is just floating out this disclaimer because everybody's excited about what Jeff Passan had to say last night and this morning about what could potentially be down the road as far as baseball getting this season started. When people hear baseball in early May, everybody now has something to look forward to. Like there's an end in sight in terms of when we're going to get live sports back. I think this is baseball. Rob Manfred in his office just trying to pump the brakes a little bit, just recognizing that we still have 3 weeks until we get to the calendar month of May, and this is a very fluid situation. So to make any definitive plans now would be premature. But based on what we heard from Jeff Passan, the detail that he kind of went into and him talking to several players around baseball, I think this is what baseball is thinking in terms of how they would implement a season and getting underway. So I'm not going to say Jeff Passan just got this out of nowhere. There was clearly some communication that he had with Major League Baseball, and this is, I guess, the consensus on what they've settled on if and when officials decide that it's safe for them to go out there and play.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, has to be tempering expectations, uh-huh. right? I mean, because there's still so much that would go into making this happen. I mean,
be three steps down the road and then be like, oh God, guys, we got to scrap this thing. It's not going to work.
Yeah. I think the foundation for the plan is a good foundation. But I think, as far as, you already mentioned the logistics of it. And then also, money wise, how does it affect certain owners that are relying on the gate, uh-huh. as far as they don't have great local TV deals, and so they're relying on the gate. Well, you're not going to have fans. So how does that work? How does revenue sharing work? How are rosters going to work? I mean, there are still a bunch of different things that need to be figured out before this plan is put in motion.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably hundreds of things. There's probably 50 things we can't even think of that we don't even have the knowledge of baseball to be able to think of that they have to deal. I mean, umpires, right? You're just going to lock them away. I guess you're going to have to. What are you going to do with a minor league system? And guys are going to replace guys that get injured. What are you going to do with double headers? What are you going to do with the gate? I mean, there's a million. What hotels are they going to stay at? Are you going to have clubhouse guys that are going to help with things? Who's going to do the laundry? I mean, the TV deals, all that. There's so many things that go into this that, in theory, lock away in Arizona, have baseball. It's much more difficult than that.
Yeah, it's much more difficult than that, Dave. There's a lot that goes into it. I think baseball was trying to explore the feasibility of actually doing something like this and to use the term that Jeff Passan threw out there, create a biodome around the players that would be participating in the season. If you recognize the infrastructure that's already in place, you got a dozen or so teams that call Arizona home for spring training. It just feels like the infrastructure would be there if they were going to try to move forward with having players be at one centralized location and try to mitigate the risk of the participants being infected with COVID-19. So I think that this is the idea that if they would try to play a season as early as May, this is what it would look like.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about doing is, ultimately having one big giant Olympic Village for professional baseball players.
Yes.
And then who does that include? I mean, it's going to have to be everyone though. It's going to be the people responsible for, making the food. It's going to be trainers. It's going to be bus drivers. Like anyone that is involved with this plan will have to be isolated in the same spot and be available for testing just to make sure this thing doesn't, one guy gets it and, they can control it and that guy can be quarantined. But you can't have this all of a sudden one guy gets it and it spreads through.
No, because that would be worse than anything. Is if you start it, you're moving along, and then you had to shut it down. I think that would be awful for the world of sports.
No, I think for every league. I mean, if they're the first to do this, and God forbid something like that happens, I mean, then you're pretty much just NHL season's over, NBA season's over. Who knows what the hell happens with college football, and then, you know, the NFL is next.
So not only do we need baseball, but we need baseball to come back and come back successfully, right? We need this thing to work. And I don't even mean with the quality of play. I just mean to be able to play, right? We need them to be able to go out there, play baseball, not look back, and this to be a success in the way they do it. And that'll give hope to the other sports because, I mean, God forbid it doesn't work out well. It puts us right back to square one.
Well, I think it gives what it does too, though, Dave. I think it gives hope to everybody. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that one of the things that would frustrate us early on when this whole thing happened was, you know, and I don't necessarily like the social distancing, like physical distancing, you know, spatial awareness, whatever you want to call it, because to say social distancing kind of, I don't know, I don't necessarily love that term, but no one was taking it serious, right? Like, I mean, you got the video of Peter Rosenberg losing his mind, and just no one was taking it serious. And then eventually it gets to a point where, you know, Rudy Gobert gets it, Tom Hanks gets it, like all these things. You know, celebrities start getting it. You get the prime minister. It's anyone can get it. So once you see that anyone can get it, maybe you start taking it a little bit more serious. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if a professional athlete can get it, I'm a 25-year-old guy. I'm in good shape. Won't get me. Well, he's the same as I am. He just got it. So it can get anyone. It's almost like you're in a situation now, if these sports do come back, that you start to feel better about eventually being able to be in close contact with people. Because the reality is, I mean, if Major League Baseball comes back, you may want to, you know, social distance, but I mean, you'll be on first base. The first baseman is going to be standing right next to you. You're going to be at home plate. The catcher's going to be right next to you. I mean, you can't avoid it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be in tight quarters with people. That's the reality of it. So if this thing goes off and they don't have any, you know, fingers crossed that this thing does happen, they don't have any situations that slows the progress or, you know, stops it in its tracks, then I think that's only positive.
Yeah, I think as long as it's not a disaster, and by disaster I mean COVID-19 running rampant throughout all of the players on all of the clubs, then I think it would be an encouraging sign because I think it would give the public some confidence that we're going to get back to some sense of normalcy sooner as opposed to later. And then you do have the entertainment factor, which we already discussed, is in the best interest of the psyche of everyone in the country. So I just think that if this is able to move forward and you're not putting the majority of players at unnecessary risk, then I think it'll be an encouraging sign, not just for sports, but for where we're at as a country.
I am so starving for sports that I cannot wait for the NFL draft, Canty. Like, we're 2 weeks from Thursday. That cannot get here soon enough. And the way every day feels like it's 5 days, that's about 2.5 months away, 2 weeks from Thursday.
I know, right? It seems like we're so far away from it, but it's really coming up on us, Dave. And it's interesting to see how the NFL is going to pull this off. So apparently all of the decision makers are going to have to be from their own homes and running the draft from there, which makes it real interesting in terms of the communication within organizations, but then also communication to the league office and trying to facilitate draft day moves, trades, etc. This is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. And I have this awful thought in my head, Rick, where Dave Gettleman is trying to dial up on AOL and he can't get through, and the Giants wind up taking someone that they don't intend to take with the fourth overall selection.
You know, Dave Gettleman has already fallen in love with whoever it is, probably Isaiah Simmons. And that's, I mean, he's done. He's got his feet up. He's got his AOL account active. Dial up, ready to rock and roll. Probably using a rotary phone, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's got his Rolodex ready to go.
You got to trust it.
You know what's funny, though? And I couldn't even believe it when he said it, but I mean, I guess it's the reality of where we're at. I was listening this morning to Tom Telesco, the GM of the Chargers,
and
with a straight face. He's like, yeah, we're trying to figure this thing out. We're all set up. I have, you know, one of my sons is going to answer one of the phones. My other son is going to answer one of the other phones. And then me and my wife right now are in negotiations to see how she's going to help with the draft.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
NFL draft.
Yeah. But it's different than we've ever experienced before. Ever.
It's different. We're in an unprecedented time, yeah. Dave. But I think the NFL did the right thing by not allowing any of the teams to utilize their facilities in order to host the draft, because there are some teams that are in states that don't have any stay-at-home orders currently. So, I mean, that would be an unfair advantage. Yeah. So the NFL forcing everybody to do it from home, I think it was the right decision to make. Now it's just a matter of working out the logistics and making sure that the communication to the league office between the individual clubs is something that's protected. The integrity of this thing is really the biggest question mark, because something like this has never been done before.
Yeah, and hopefully will never have to be done again. Let's bring him in, our dear friend Andy from Merrick, who's got questions for all of us. Good morning, Andy from Merrick.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing as good as we can be doing, Andy.
That's what I figured you'd say. Groundhog Day. All right, Chris, first question.
I'm ready.
All right. 2011 was a great year for you, Mr. Canty. You had career highs in sacks, tackles, tackles for losses. And you also had your only career safety. What quarterback did you nail in the end zone in 2011?
Oh, this is easy, Andy. This is Mark Sanchez, the Christmas Eve game. Come on, man.
Well, listen, you didn't remember who you had a fumble recovery.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. I shouldn't get cocky here. You're right.
All right, Rick.
By the way, one of the great underrated games, Canty, in the history of Giants football.
That game?
That Christmas Eve game.
That was a huge game, Dave.
Oh.
That was a huge game. Because we had to win the last two to get in.
I remember. You beat the Jets, and you were trailing in that game, and then you beat the Cowboys, and then we just went from there. All right. Next up is Rick. Go ahead.
Rick. Rick has a bad rep for not playing. Rick had three consecutive years of over 60 games played as a goalie for the Islanders. My question to Rick is, who holds the single-season record for 79 games played as a goalie in NHL history?
Ooh.
79 games played.
Mm-hmm. One record. Season.
Well, there's two goalies that would probably fit that criteria. I want to. I mean, it just seems so easy, though. Would you ask me a question this easy? I think it's either Grant Fuhr or it's Martin Brodeur. It's one of those two. I'm going to go with Marty. I'll go with Marty Brodeur.
Brodeur had 78.
Oh.
Fuhr had 79. You were right.
Oh.
All right, David. Oh.
All right.
You're
here we go.
I'll pick the draft wrong questions. One. You ready?
What'd you say?
I said, I know you're starving for a draft question.
Go ahead.
Since the year 2000, the Giants have drafted four players out of the University of Miami. Please name them. First round draft picks.
Well, one of them we know is the guy from the left tackle that's no longer with us.
Yes. Who were the other three first-rounders in 2000?
First-round picks, Jeremy Shockey.
It's two.
From Miami, you said, right? So that would
have University of Miami.
Paul. Kenny Phillips.
That's three. Got one more.
Come on, Dave.
Joseph.
You got this one.
William Joseph.
There you go.
There it is. 2003 draft. Great job, guys.
This is what we
Willie
did.
Joe. That's a name I hadn't heard in a long time.
I was hoping to never mention that name again, but that got broken up there with the question from Andy from Merrick. Rick, you okay? You missed your question?
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I had the two. I just picked
half credit.
One.
Half credit.
Yeah, that's a half credit one. Yeah, 100%.
All right. So overall, as a show unit, we did very, very well.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.